Uh-oh. Live.
No cussing, because it's on.
It's getting better.
No, not here. That thing died the other day during the meeting.
Did you have any problems arriving in London on the day of the wedding?
No.
There's probably nobody there. Everybody had already arrived.
Well, it wasn't bad. And we just started getting tired in Oxford. And then we came back and did London 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so. After we've been to the Canaries and Ireland.
That's pretty good to tell you. Not me.
Okay, it's 2:00. The meeting of the airport committee for May 8th, the 19th. Do I hear approval of the minutes for April 19th?
Move to approve the minutes.
Do I hear a second?
I guess we'll second it.
Okay, move to second approval of the minutes. AIP project?
Pretty much the AIP project is complete. Same status I think I gave you last time. The project has gone through all the final inspections. Everything's good. We're trying to work with the FAA to get the retainage released to the contractor, E2 Electric. The only thing held up is still that radio issue. And I'm trying to get the FAA technicians involved in the radio issue. The only argument with the retainage, E2 is making an argument that I agree with that says, you know, we've finished the entire project. The only thing not finished is an issue with a radio that we're kind of held up on the manufacturer of the radio's issues with it. Once we get back, that'll be all completely done. Can we have our retainage? The reason the FAA typically really holds retainage tight is because there's been, you know, more than one case of a company getting their final payment and you never hear from them again. I'm 100% confident that's not happening with E2. They do too much business in the local area to cause problems like that. The FAA said, well, you know, in theory, you know, I can take your recommendation and I can approve it, but, you know, I'm responsible for this set in Seattle. I don't know anybody down there. So we're kind of debating that with them. And that's the only thing left. Other than that, the project's done. I have issued an application for the next project. It's a little late in the year with that, but we still have the same issues with the authorization fund for the AIP trust fund. And so the FAA is kind of on hold on all their projects. So we're a little late in it, but yet it should happen with no problems. That's pretty much it on the AIP project. The signs look great. The beacon looks great. Everything's in good shape out there. So, unless there's any questions on the AIP project, that's pretty much the update.
Okay, the Fly OMP marketing?
It's still going really well. We did use some of the Fly OMP campaign to advertise this last weekend for the barbecue and the helicopter that was going to be up here giving rides. Turned out the weather didn't cooperate with us though, and so the turnout wasn't as high as, you know, we would have anticipated. I do have a pretty good budget left on that, and I want to take that money now and kind of hit this hard again right before the summer starts. So by next month, I'll probably have some reports about, you know, what we've done differently and how much we've done to spend the last of that money in the budget and really get the summertime going. So that's been my plan, is kind of keep a little bit in reserve for right before the summer and then hit it good and hard. So that's what I'm going to do in the next month.
Had a thought. out there, there's maybe a signage. We don't really have a good sign for airport number one, but a seaport, but you don't know what they do. You're driving by. I wonder if you could put a sign that says flights to Portland.
Yeah, I'm looking into doing some sort of sign out there right above their sign, it would say something like that.
That's what people don't care what the name is. So
right.
I don't know how to get it.
The seaport sign is bigger than the rise to Portland.
Right.
There is no rise to Portland.
So it says it on the seaport.
It says, yeah. It does? Yeah. Well, then I don't see it. It's worthless.
And if you really want to save to get that money for the, I'm just outside, get that money for the grant, you know, well, you utilize it to be more important to put down, you know, daily flights.
Daily flights.
Mm-hmm. And then they really want to know who's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a daily flight show.
Well, and that's exactly the case of the Fly ONP campaign, Fly Newport campaign, is that it's not specific to Seaport. It's specific to the airport.
Right, yeah.
And so just anything that says daily flights, anything like that.
And the next thing, is that a lit sign?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it a lit sign. That's one of the issues that I'm dealing with. Is
so it's not right now?
No, it's not, because the electricity is out to that the Newport City sign,
yeah.
And so it'll be a matter of just running, tapping off of that, and running the electricity over to the other sign.
And just for kicks, I'm running late, you know, but I've done a lot. I do a lot of service work, and I go to visit a lot of homes and people. My customers know I'm a pilot, and lots of my customers will say, make sure they keep that Seaport going. I love that going to, you know, commuting, mm-hmm. and they you know, they just brag about how good it does and how it saves them time, and yeah. You know, so I see a lot of positive.
Well, I was going to talk about that towards the end, but I can skip up to it now. Last month for April, and I haven't got any numbers for them for May yet, but in April they were at a 5.5 average persons per flight, which according to their president, 5 is their break even number. So For April, they were above their break-even number, which is really good. I mean, that's great. So it's just a matter of they have to keep at that, and they have to keep going. I don't know how May's been yet. I tell everybody who tells me, you know, do everything you can to keep Seaport here, I tell them the only thing we can do is use them.
Use them.
You know, you gotta buy tickets, you gotta fly on them. If you don't do that, they're not gonna stay here, just like any other business wouldn't stay here if people weren't using their services. So.
And in addition to using them, is the best flight, so that last night flight into town, and the early morning flight out of town. And right now we are trading. I'm working on getting motels, private people, bed and breakfasts, lot of vacation rentals, that kind of thing, to trade room nights for tickets. So 2 pilots a night, 5 nights a week, earns you 2 round trip tickets. So they will stay in private residences. So any of these folks that you run into that really are touting, that are really touting the airline, anybody that can help with that, just let me know.
All votes are away.
Well,
you don't have to leave as long as you don't discuss business.
Okay, well,
business.
Yeah. So here's the part of
that's the second part of it, because I really honestly believe that the very best ridership that they get is that evening flight in and the first morning flight out in the morning. And so, in order to be able to do that, they, you know, saving Seaport the cost of overnighting and trading for those tickets is really critical to them right now. Now, when they get a little bit farther up into the passengers, you know, average number of passengers, 6, 7, 8, then they should be able to have a contract with one of the local motels, for a rock bottom price for overnight. The pilots are really, they walk in the door of the unit, they go to bed, they get up in the morning, and they have to be back at the airport at 4:30. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what time they're landing now. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Came back on.
8 o'clock, and so they're not getting to the to the unit till 8:30, and they're out again at 4:30 in the morning. And so there's very little use. However, it's a different pilot every night, so the bed has to be changed. But they should be able to get a pretty good rate, I think, out of some of the. There's plenty of inventory in town, as far as beds go. So. At some point in the near future, I emailed them just the other day and let them know they're going to be staying at the Embarcadero this next week, and they asked how are you doing finding rooms, and we're kind of getting in the middle of the week for the next week, we're getting somebody to make a commitment for a week or 2 weeks, and I told them that they probably should be starting to think about asking motels to make bids on nightly room rents, but they should be able to get a room fairly cheaply, I think, because it's very little cost for the motel to turn that room over, and so it is some cost associated, and they get 2 free round trip tickets. The tickets are positive seats, so if somebody uses the voucher that they give, it's a positive seat, so it can't get bumped for any reason. It's like a regular reservation. The vouchers they're giving the motel owners are completely transferable. They can be used by anybody. So it's a pretty good deal right now. The problem with the motel owners and managers and that kind of thing is that, I have the inventory, but I don't I don't have any need for the tickets.
So on Craigslist, for God's sakes, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just one more thing. Yeah. It's just one more thing. So, you know, I've suggested they could use them for employee incentives. They could donate them to the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce can use them for promotions and anything that they're doing. But that's kind of where we are right now. And that's been really great community support. We've been doing that since March 15th. And we're all the way up till the end of May. But I think it's going to get tougher as we get into summer. But they'll stay in private residences, too. So if anybody that you know that's using the service regularly that has extra rooms, you know, they can get some tickets. So it'll work out anyway that way. But I think that's, you know, that's the biggest amount of community support we can give Seaport right now, besides using the aircraft, using the service, is to provide that lodging on a nightly basis. So, and it's Sunday through Thursday.
Can you, any questions?
Thursday?
Sunday through Thursday.
Because they return on
Friday.
Yeah.
They take the plane back. There's three flights out on Friday.
One coming in.
When they come back in the evening, they take the plane back to Portland Friday night. Oh, so you can actually leave town three different times on Fridays. And you can come back on Sunday evening. They bring that evening flight back on Sunday in order to stage it for Monday morning. So.
Okay, status recommendation, rename a portion of Southeast 84th Street. That's been, Mr. Mayor, that's been sent back to us, has it?
It's been bannered back and forth. Where it is right now is tabled at the council level in order to get input back from the airport committee, basically to see if you are still on board with the name change. The last time it came to you, it was a unanimous vote, but there is some indication that it wasn't understood that was going to be
correct.
What really happened. So,
well, I think,
have your discussion.
I think what I heard was that David Allen saw it on the agenda and he wondered why it was there.
On this agenda?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the minutes.
Part of me was sent back here.
Yeah, but it's sent back. So really the airport committee needs to make another recommendation one way or another. I think you have people here to talk about that.
It is. So go ahead. We can go ahead. Open this up.
I was just going to say one thing about the fuel tank, and I would offer to assist and give free help to do it. But the fuel tank's really hard to see when you fuel the meter because the fuel tank's
really
low. So I can't see it. Like in something like I have four tanks and they have four tanks, you can't read it. And when you're flying, weight and balance is very critical. So it's, you need to know how much fuel you have, what kind of weight
you're
you
talking
have.
About at the self-serve.
Yeah, okay. Self-service. Yeah, and I talked about this to, I talked to the electrical inspector, and he has no problem moving it up. Fire marshal has no problem moving it up. And the reason why it was moved back so far was the electrician insisted that it would be safer back there, and he used to fly, so I don't know why he does. But I mean, you know, I've never seen any other fuel tank in Oregon, so, with a meter so far away. You could either move the tank up with a meter or put a, you know, relocate the meter where you can see it. But, you know, he's worried, the electrician was worried about, you know, bumping into the wings. Well, I mean, you tax your own aircraft, you're not going to hit wings with the aircraft. I'd be more worried about some terrorists throwing a Molotov cocktail over the side of the fence because it's close to the fence, then another aircraft could damage their airplane. They're not going to, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. But I would offer assistance and labor.
Okay.
To
I'm sorry. I know I met you
Ron,
before.
Ron Goulet. Yeah, we've never really met before, but
I thought that was.
So you can't see how much fuel you have in each tank.
No. But when you fill up your tank on the airplane, you can't see the meter.
You can't see how much.
So you don't
see how much we've got.
So if you want to put 5 gallons in, you can't see it.
Oh.
You know, you don't know. I usually have to have somebody. If I have a passenger with me, they can read it off. But if I'm by myself, I usually try to get somebody to, you know, assist me, you know, which takes up their time.
Yeah, makes sense.
What's your contact number, Ron?
I'll give you a, you can call me 336-5559. It's my 24-hour business with Goulet Plumbing.
Okay. 541, I assume, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll look into it. You're the first person that's brought that up to me, so, you know. I can see what you're saying.
I thought maybe it's a mechanical reader.
It's a it's on the tank. It's also all wired in as a unit, you know. But I mean, you'd either have to relocate the meter, you know, some kind of readout, or move the whole tank.
I see it. I thought the gas makes it move, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm making a note here to look into it and see what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think I'm all used to weight balance.
Mm. Ron, do you have any comments regards to renaming of the street?
Yeah, I guess my big question is, for all of this, some facts here. I mean, I'm just going to go down some brief stuff. Is that of all the former FBO people out there, I think, was it Joe Miller was one of the earlier, was it? Yeah, he was out there. And then, of course, then there was Larry Johnson and Jim York and people I remember down there. And it was always a nice place you'd go and relax, like sitting in somebody's living room, and it was just comfortable. Everybody was like a big friend camaraderie. Winningston, you know, I don't want to beat the guy up. He's passed, but he was kind of like a spoiled rich kid that got his way and wanted to get his way. He hired Mark Kaminsky. Everybody knows, anybody has any history down there knows he was basically a gun-toting thug. I think Dean could pass up where he would go to the airport to break up fights and things like that. Kaminsky one time was thrown out at Pertea's FBO. He was carrying a gun after he was already banned out of there, and they said, "Why are you carrying a gun?" He says, "Because I fear for my life." "Well, why go into the FBO if you fear for your life?" This is the kind of people Winningston would hire. Winningston hired him because there was some kind of a deal where he got his helicopter in accident, and I think Kaminsky bailed him out. There's also, you know, scuffle. Winningston doesn't even live in Newport. Anybody aware of that?
But either do you.
But I'm not getting my name changed. I mean, I think I've done a lot more for this community and humanitarian stuff than Winningston's ever done.
You're talking about Dennis or Norm?
Norm.
Norm lived in Newport.
No, he lived in the area of Newport. His area was exempt from the, he's on county property.
Well, I know that.
It's in the county.
Yeah. Right, so I mean, here, so I mean,
in the county.
But what did he do? I mean, my question is, what did he do that was of honor? I mean, I brought up at the meeting the other day that when he didn't get his way, he wanted to have a summer fly in there. It's sad. None of the pilots wanted to encourage him to have the summer, you know, fly in there. And that would be a lot of work for us. We could have raised money for the OPA. We brought money in for him. None of us really felt comfortable doing this for the guy. It was sad. And so he knew this was happening. He went and lied to the state Oregon president and said that there's no chapter there. And he started his own. Well, it didn't last long because I called him and says, "Why do we have a chapter?" And he goes, "That you don't have a chapter there. You're in Depot Bay." And I goes, "That's odd. When he's come to our meetings, since when have we been in Depot Bay?" You know, it's just that kind of insult stuff. It would be an insult to the people that really, the newer group that doesn't know him or wasn't affected down there, doesn't know any of that stuff. But to me, if I drive there and see Winningston Way, I would just be insulted. Another time, for instance, he finally got rid of me. I even talked to Winningston. I asked him, "Why did you hire someone like Kaminsky? He's a known troublemaker. Various people in town, public officials, have told you that he's a troublemaker." I would never trust my plane in there with a guy. I mean, he has a history of, I go on with all kinds of history, illegal stuff he's done. Why would you trust this guy in there with your plane?
Okay, I'm going to cut you off there. Go to the next. Jim, you were here. You have comments regarding this?
When he took over the FBO, he had the building built, as I understand it. As he ran it, he took more and more pilot support stuff away. There was a room built in that building for FAA exams. That disappeared. There was a IFR computer upstairs for pilots to do training on. That disappeared. He didn't support private pilots. As far as I understand it, he ran the FBO and was losing money on it. If you're running a business and you're losing money, you either figure out how to make money or you get out. He didn't support the local pilots. That's basically it in a nutshell.
Okay. Larry?
Well, I was at the meeting the other night, and I didn't say a lot, and I don't intend to say a lot today, other than I'm against it. And I'll stand by what he just said. I've been here a long time, out at the airport, and I was part of the airport at one time, as some of you may know. And again, not to put Winningstead down or his family or anybody else, but I don't think it would be a good thing. If I had my druthers, if you're bound and determined that you want to name somebody in there, I'd say name somebody that that all the pilots kind of liked or respected or went along with. And I can give you a name. If you want to name somebody, name Roy Britton. Roy Britton was a mechanic, but he took care of us out there.
He did.
For years.
He was an honest guy.
Honest.
Yeah. He was honorable.
Exactly.
Those are things that all you look
things.
Forward to.
Yeah.
So why would you say Roy Britton? Because he was honest and honorable, right?
Exactly.
And he was comfortable. Everybody liked him.
Exactly.
He was fun to be around. You looked forward to seeing him there, right?
Exactly.
I never heard anybody say anything questionable about Mr. Britton. He was, I miss him.
Well, I also, not that it's worth a lot, but I also heard at one time out there, overheard some conversation that he built that building and came down here just, it was strictly a write-off for him. He had no intention of building anything or doing anything great down here for the airport or the pilots or anybody else, in my opinion. So
I just clarify to you that the council acted on the request from public to do the naming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this whole process started.
Well, I know who was pushing it and so on, and I'm not going to get into that.
No, I'm just saying that's where it came from, and the comments that we've had so far, and the letters and comments we've had so far, have given credit to Norm for a lot of things he did. None of the letters we received gave credit for what he's done at the airport or didn't do at the airport. I mean, that's just where it came from. That's where it's coming from, and that's the letters that we had and the information that we've had. And everything until the point at which you guys have spoken up was positive and in favor of it. So that's why it went where it did.
But the people that wrote the letters didn't hang out down there for it. They didn't really know the people here.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you and understand you that.
Of course, you can look at it one other way, too. It's there's a lot of benches on the bayfront in memory of, and I have no idea what they did for the bayfront. So it's kind of a thing where it happens to be at the airport, which is obviously a burr under somebody's saddle, but... he flew, that would be one reason why they picked that area. It wasn't because they needed to speak at that location. Yeah. That was just something he did.
Yeah. You can name it Fuchs Way, you can name it Johnson Way, you can name it Steenson Way, Beamer Way. Right. Well, flew. Way.
There's a couple other pilots here I think have a voice they want to be heard.
Oh, I just had a quick comment. My name is Dean Sawyer, and I've been a pilot since 1980 here in Newport. And I've seen a lot of FBOs come and go. And I knew Norm Winningstead. I helped him out one time. He had to land. I was over in Toledo, and I had my car over there at Toledo Airport. He got fogged out of Newport, and I drove his wife and he back to town. And a couple days later, they called me up and asked me to go for if I wanted to go for helicopter flights. So I got to go do that. He didn't let me fly there or anything. I'm surprised I'm still here alive today. But in any event, I guess the thing that boils down to me is all the people that have come to the Planning Commission and the City Council, except for last week, were all arts people. And I know he did a lot of good for the arts, and I think that I wish that they would have picked an arts project to name after him. I think that would be very appropriate. As far as the airport goes, all Norm Winningstead did for the airport, all of you that know this, the only thing he did down there was he built the hangar and he ran a business. But he didn't really run the business, if you really remember back. His son did, Dennis. Now, we all know Dennis was not a business person, and unfortunately, that whole thing kind of deteriorated down to the point where right now we have to replace the roof that's going to cost the city quite a bit of money. It wasn't constructed properly. The north wall was bad. Of course, that was probably Mr. Kaminsky, as you were talking about earlier. But the thing is, he just had a business down there, and it didn't go well for him. And now the city has it, and unfortunately it's costing the city a lot of money. We all know that. But it's just like, you know, J.C. Market, you know, Jim Bickers built J.C. Market. And he ran a good market, and he did a lot for the community. Now, if we want to change 101 to Bickers Way, I think that would be a wonderful tribute to him. But as far as Mr. Winningstead goes with the airport's concerned, I just have not seen what he has done. And I agree with Mr. Johnson Roy Britton was great down there. He was our mechanic for years. And I'll never forget the day Larry and I were replacing our engine, and Roy was there ready to pull the engine off the plane. And Mr. Kaminsky came over and in front of us, in front of Roy, said, "Oh, I'll rebuild your engine for you." That's, of course, we all know how much coup he had. But in any event, the bottom line for me was all Norm Winningstead did out there was he built the FBO. He let his son run it down into virtually nothing. It was for sale for several years before the city took it over. I personally looked at buying it myself. When I was getting ready to retire, I thought I'd buy the business and run it. And I kind of wish that I would, because it's always been a thing that I've wanted to do. The problem that I saw was at the time, even though it wasn't really that expensive, the fact that he had run the business off. And if you all remember, when he first started that, he had a charter business out of there with an airplane. It was based there. And you could go down to Newport Airport. You could say, "I need a pilot." There was one there, and they would take you anywhere you wanted to go. And unfortunately, he eliminated that real quick. And it took several years before the city was able to get, you know, something back in Seaport. But we did, you know, we had all those nice services. And unfortunately, they all went away. And so for that, I just, you know, he's a great guy, but I just don't think the airport is the proper venue.
It's still for sale.
Yeah. I as Dean,
yeah. Are you buy it now? You want to buy it now?
I as Dean am here, although we're on the council, we're actually here as pilots. And everybody has said pretty much everything I agree with. So I urge you to send back to the council that the airport committee recommends against the renaming. It's all been said, and I agree with everything everyone has said.
The information that you've given me today, I don't know about the two, one on my right, one on my left, but I have also received phone calls and also persons have spoke to me in regards to information that I was unaware of when we decided it's the first time and what have you. And the members, do you wish to go ahead and reconsider?
I move that we withdraw our support for renaming the street.
I second.
Okay.
Actually, that was the way I felt in the beginning, but the crowd around us didn't necessarily.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we refer it back to the council then.
That's fine, and I'll let you know that the sister city of Mobetz has given money, and there's plans afoot to redo the park, the sister city park, and they've given money in Norm's name. So there are plans to do something with Norm in Norm's name for his family here, and there will be something for the family.
It was interesting. Number of folks have told me, and of course I belong to the pack and what have you, and I didn't. I forgot to realize how much money went into there, and there was not any recognition, what have you, and some other projects. He did a good job of spending money, what have you.
His name is on the wall at the Performing Arts Center, and he supported a lot of different organizations. And so there'll be something. I mean, I think it'll satisfy the folks who want to see something for him in the community with his name on it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the airport.
I would suggest that in your report back to the council, you state that whatever the vote was unanimous. And you had X number of people testify against or testify to not support changing the name, and a number of those are the things that people like David Allen jump on.
Well, you know.
Well, Peggy does a good job of writing these things down.
And I think we want to make sure that we get Jim on there too, because he's a different person who hasn't testified yet. And the thing about it is that you know, when you're making decisions about something that you at the council level that you don't have a lot of
background
knowledge or background with one way or another, you go by the testimony you get. When all of your testimony is positive, when the airport committee said unanimously, and all your testimony and everything you have is positive, and people have come back over and over and written emails over and over again, you follow.
Well, there was an agenda item that we had, but there nobody was showing up to before us. I guess this.
Yeah.
So that's why.
No, he
okay, anything else
I'd be interested to know how many people here saw the letter to the editor in the News Times yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, I spoke with her
So did I.
She's also one of my ex seniors. So
is that Susan? I called her up and said,
I know she told me you had talked to her.
I just said call. I just left a message. Good letter.
Yeah.
No. We appreciate the community's input and coming here and talking about it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's sad it had to go this far, but I think it was needed.
Yeah. Well, it's
well, we appreciate your input. Thank you.
Well, you know, there was no slam dunking about it. I mean, this is the sixth hearing we've had on this issue. City sixth hearing.
Well, at least there should only be one more.
So, I mean, it's the information's been out there.
Understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Part 139.
Well, I will, since this has gone for a while, I'll make this brief.
I know you're going to be leaving, but I want to thank you for your input today.
Yeah.
We had our Part 139 inspection this last month on April 29th. As everyone knows, last year the inspection wasn't the best inspection an airport anywhere could have. We had a lot of negative reports, a lot of corrections. A lot of it was just done to things that had fallen by the wayside over several years. We worked with the inspector. He came back three times this year and inspected with supplemental inspections. This year, on his actual annual inspection, the real live one, he only found three very minor things that he noted, and they were corrected. Two of them were corrected the same day he noted them. One of them, he dug through all of our records and found one notum that was written wrong, and so he was sure to note that down. The other one, he dug through all our records, found a couple of daily self-inspections that weren't written properly, and he made sure he noted those down. The final one was last year he asked us to build an access road for ARF from their station directly to the taxiway. So for those of you who are familiar, they didn't have to go all the way out to the end of 16 and back down again. They could just go straight across. We got that road built during the winter time, but it was, you know, rainy, really messy, you know, so we just put some base gravel down, got that rolled out so that there's a good road there, but it's not 100% finished yet. And he marked up some of the issues with it not being finished, even though we were explaining to him that it's not finished, he still wrote them up. So those were the extent of the inspection this year. So it was a much, much better inspection than last year. He made some recommendations that we continue improving our training, and that's one of the big issues he had last year. Is in the past there wasn't really significant or sufficient training for staff, and we've improved that over the years. Over the last year, he's made some notes that we continue that. He made some comments that that supports the training that we're doing and encourages the city to continue supporting that training, and made a comment that the overall condition of the airport has improved significantly. So it was a good inspection.
Same guy that did it last year.
Yeah, same guy that did it last year. And that's that, unless there's any questions. And then my report, we talked about the Seaport Airlines stuff. I brought some other things here, I didn't know what all everybody was really interested in, so I brought a whole bunch of things that we could talk about if you wanted. One of the issues we talked about last month that I wanted to make sure was the financial report from David Marshall that there was still, and I know I've talked to a couple of people who are still a little confused on this. There's a difference between David's report on we're over appropriations and rather we're having negative funds. We're over appropriations in our operations out there because we've sold more fuel than we anticipated. So because we sold more fuel than we've anticipated, we bought more fuel than we've anticipated, and it just brings everything up. So we're over appropriations. Our estimates still show that we'll be within, we won't be losing money beyond, and this is difficult to talk about because the city gives so much money a year to the airport for operations. So when I'm talking about revenue and making money, I'm talking about also the money that is transferred from the general fund to the airport fund. We're not going to be in a negative sense in that way. Of course, the airport does lose money in the fact that the general fund does have to support it. And the only thing that can help that is just over time, the economy improving and different things growing out there. But the appropriations issue was the big thing I wanted to talk about. If anybody had any further questions on that, we can discuss it. But we are doing good as far as that goes. I was going to give a report real quick about the number of fuel or the fuel cells. This last April, we sold 6,091 gallons of Jet A, and that's about 4,000 gallons more than we did last year in April, which I was trying to figure out why, and the only thing I can figure out, well, there's a couple of reasons. We've worked on the pricing structure a little bit, but also last year about the March-April time, people weren't flying their airplanes. I don't know if you remember when Congress dragged all the car makers and the banks before, and they all flew in their private jets, and they all got in trouble for it. Private aircraft, the big jets, just stopped flying right after that. So we were still into that last year. This year, we sold quite a bit more. We sold 1,241 gallons of avgas. I don't have complete numbers for last year because for some reason the self-serve system isn't showing us the numbers for last year. So I'm not sure how much more we're up, but we do appear to be up based on the revenue from avgas. The other thing I brought in, which I was going to talk because I was being questioned the other day, but not by anyone who's here, and I was anticipating that they might be here, was how we're pricing the structure of the fuel. So if anybody has any questions on pricing the structure of the fuel, I can answer that. But
well, I might note your fuel card.
Yeah, the fuel card issue, we did talk about that last time. We have the discount fuel card that's available to everybody, and you get an additional 10% off of what the self-serve price is. So it brings it down to the same price you can get it at the cheapest prices in the valley. If somebody wants us to pump the gas into them, they're going to pay a premium for that. We'll bring the truck out. We'll pump the fuel for them. They don't have to touch it. But if somebody wants to do the work themselves, they can get a very significant discount, and because it saves us money not having to have, you know, the guys doing that work, they can do other work. Pretty much that.
Is it feasible to go self-service only? Does that work?
Well, actually, you know, I mean, the guys, I mean, they're not so busy. If you took that away from them, they'd pretty much be doing nothing in the office. I mean,
well, it's not. Well, you. It wouldn't be feasible.
You still have to pay them to be there.
That's kind of where I'm headed. I mean, I'm wondering if the reason why you have somebody there is so that you have somebody available to pump fuel, and that's the only reason why. That's the only reason why they're there.
No, I think safety issue should be another one. You have to have somebody sometimes monitor radio safety.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if there's times when you have somebody who's really only there to be able to pump fuel, and if that's the only reason they're there.
The answer is no, because the jet fuel doesn't have self-serve available.
You can't do it.
And okay. And you're not going to be able to do jet with self-serve because of the type of aircraft that you do that with.
Oh.
So the answer is no. The only thing we would save by going to avgas only is the maintenance we put into the truck. But we can't really save that either because we still need the truck to transfer the fuel from the fuel farm to the self-serve tank. So no, in the long run, we're not going to save any money by going to self-serve only. The only thing that giving the discount, encouraging people to do self-serve fuel is because if it feasibly it gets busy enough, I'm pretty thin on employees as it is now. If I had only full service avgas, especially during the summer, I'd probably have to have another full-time person.
Yeah.
So there is benefits to having the self-serve, but there's really no benefit to doing just self-serve on the avgas. And unless there's questions, that's my report.
Okay, any other comments?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, is there more on the agenda?
That's it.
Any more on needing to get the water and sewer down there?
In regards to
potential use of area.
Well,
gas area.
No more information.
Yeah, there's. We're kind of with the last issue we talked about here. We're waiting for them at this point. We've given them a lot of development numbers and a lot of ideas, and we're waiting for their response. In general, the development out there, it's the same issue. We got to wait for somebody who wants to come in and help, you know, that develop that infrastructure for their own business needs.
Do we have a plan? Sometimes, you know, it's hard for somebody that comes in there and you go, you can't even give them a number.
Well, the city, yeah, the city on a whole does have plans for continuing bringing infrastructure out that direction. Both the community development, Derek, and the engineering department, Public Works, Lee, they both have a set of plans that, that do that. And it's very expensive. So there's the... There are options for a company to come in and do some development that would support just them, and it's much less as far as an expense. And there are options where we bring everything all the way out there. From what Derek and Lee are telling me, the city plans probably stretch 5 or 6 years out before the city's really looking at doing that as a whole. Before then, there's really no...
Because I guess I get to that point where now staff is telling leading policy decisions.
Well, I don't. I can't comment on that. I can't really comment on that. I can just comment on the plans that have been developed in the past. There's all the urban renewal development plans, all that stuff. They have water plans and sewer plans that were developed several years ago in a master planning process that they base that on. And I would highly assume all that went through a council level when it was done.
But you're I would not put words in your mouth. But I mean, you're indicating. Would you indicate to the airport committee advocating a need for that in the airport? So I'm not hearing it from the airport committee, so I'm just wondering if you're...
I guess my answer to be yes, there is a need for that. But the problem with... it becomes a whole cart before the horse problem. You don't get a lot of people wanting to develop in an area like that unless the infrastructure is fully developed. And you got to fully develop the infrastructure before you can get people interested, but just because you develop it doesn't mean someone will be interested. I mean, we built a business park down in North Bend that we spent $3 million building the business park on, and it's still sitting there empty 7 years later. So there are some issues with, yes, it is necessary, but where do you get the money from, and how do you guarantee that the investment's going to give you a quick return? And there's a lot of big variables there.
We finalized our goals on Monday night, and so we need to make sure we get to all the committees probably what the goals are, so that the goals for the airport are finalized by the council. Sewer and water is not a goal for next year, but it is a goal for 1 to 4 years, whatever our goals.
And I'll also post those on the website.
Yeah, they're posted on the website too. But you can look at the goals that we had for that we wrote down for the airport, which came from Gene. I don't know if you guys gave any input on the goals in one of the committee meetings or not. But if you read the goals and you think there's one that we really missed, let us know, because we can always add them.
That's one of the things we need to talk to you afterwards, because of somebody who may want to.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that you know. Attending the meeting with the prospective folks that we've already talked to once about utilizing the space out there, and that is that we have the capability of knowing how much it would cost to get us, you know, a smaller service to the fire station end, what the total cost is to get service all the way out there. We kind of know what that cost is, and we have the capability of taking a developer who says, I'm ready to do this, of giving them credits towards leases and all kinds of ways to say that if you have a developer who has deep enough pockets that can get the money up front to get the infrastructure there, then you can pay them back for that infrastructure by lots of other ways. So it's not like we're saying it has to take 5 or 6 years. It's just a way of saying to a developer, you know, you can be there, and we can find, if you're willing to pay for the cost of putting all this in. It's exactly what the city did with Wilder and the community college. They did all that infrastructure up front, and then we gave them the credits back on system development charges and all those kinds of things. So there's lots of ways to do that, and that's very, very much on the table. So, you know, that's another way to look at it, too.
Well, right.
I think the other thing you're asking is, should the airport committee recommend that the community development and the public works plans be altered so that the airport area and that whole area out there gets bumped up higher on the list? as the airport, I would say, yeah, I'd love that idea, you know. But again, that has to mesh with everything else that's going on in the city as a whole. Yeah, but just strictly speaking as the needs of the airport, yeah, I'd love it if we got bumped up higher on the list and, you know, funds got directed and things got changed in the order. But, you know, I can't stand here with a straight face and say that I can guarantee that as soon as you do that, you'll have, you know, 20 new businesses come in.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff, it's urban renewal, really. Basically, the increment of urban renewal is really going to help that whole financing and funding for that. And we should see it. We should see a pretty good change in the increment of urban renewal for the next couple of years now with the development that's happened in the South Beach. So,
well, there's no tax basis on the development we did there.
But no, but you know, it will increase other parts of the tax base. Yeah, I mean, that's the concept, right? I mean, we don't get any tax base out of NOAA, but the infrastructure that was put in will encourage other things to happen. So hopefully, I think that the airport infrastructure, sewer and water, is really pretty much next on the list at urban renewal level.
Well, there's a part of it too for you guys to know. I mean, the owner of the property that abuts the north end of the airport, he must be to allow development there for industry. So that whole section that needs to, that's where my feeling, pipe, water, sewer should go through right there, because he's going to have to supply all those lots, and not on 101 where you have a permitting nightmare. But that way, urban renewal can help. SDCs can help upsize the pipe. Urban renewal may be able to help the water and sewer up to their boundary, and then he would have to pay it back as lots are sold off. But he could fund some of this to himself. But that's the issue you have. But right now, until you get properties built and on the tax rolls, which takes a whole entire year, you don't get any incremental tax benefit.
But there's lots of carrots to hold out to developers that say we can give you credits back. You know, you do the work up front.
Well, I think it's just important for the committees to know that too. Yeah, we kind of know it. I mean, you guys, if you're out there looking, and Kurt's more probably out in real estate, you know, there's avenues. Another goal is to make all of our departments self-sufficient, so an airport's one of them, but yeah, the sooner. You know, industrial park, who paid for that?
Down there, that was there was a very long and lengthy history that happened behind then, but that was when the port of Coos Bay managed it, and they took money from the port and built it, and then with a process in which the airport would pay it back, and the airport's still paying it back, even though they're their own independent district now, they still have a debt service to the port for that development. It's actually kind of ironic, because now they're stuck with something they wouldn't have done, but the port had kind of railroaded it through with this great dream of, you know, the next day, as soon as it was done, they'd have 30 businesses in there, and it didn't happen.
Depends on what kind of buildings they are, too. I mean, there's a lot of factors.
But I think it is fair to say that, you know, if we were to, the city, the way the city is, you know, things are going now financially, that if we were to just go ahead and do that, put sewer and water out there without any proposed development or without any partnership with a developer, it would be 5 or 6 years, Jeff, before we would even be close to being able to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it would be 5 or 6 years. I mean, just...
Well, it's the same 5 or 6 years no matter where you start. So that's my point. You can make
but
5 years.
But tomorrow, if you had somebody who wanted to, you know, somebody who wanted to put a huge thing in down there, it could be tomorrow that we would have somebody starting and doing that. So.
Okay. Anything else?
A quick comment, if I could. Last weekend there was a barbecue at the airport and also a helicopter fly-in. It was a wonderful event. It didn't go off as well because of the weather. That wasn't anybody's fault but the weather. But I really appreciate the fact that Gene was doing some, you know, getting some activities going down there.
Yeah, and I just
want to say that I'm really appreciative of the fact that he did it. I hope that we continue to do more activities this summer if we can. Fly-ins, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm sure, Jeff, you remember the fly-ins we used to have at Lincoln City. It was on the...
Pancake breakfast,
and it was a success. Yeah. A lot of people flew in from throughout the state. Yeah. It'd be nice to have activities like that here at our airport, because those pilots from throughout the state come here. When they come here for breakfast, they fill up with gas, and that makes the mayor happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't care if they buy gas or not.
I need to hear some favorable comments regarding that.
Anyway, I just thought it was nice to have the event, and I really appreciate the fact that
we had discussions a couple, you know, about a year ago about establishing some kind of an air show or some fly-in things, and there's no question that it has to be a volunteer-based thing. So that's the biggest thing is if, you know, with a volunteer, with a good volunteer group out there that really wants to take it on to do it, there's no way the staff could do it. There's not time.
Right. But I do appreciate the fact that
the city can
jumping
support
in
it.
And getting that
yeah,
thing going.
It's cool.
Because it was really, I thought, you know, except for the weather, it was really good idea.
What, have you got your dibs on the, if you got a new police car?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think I'm on the list of getting one of the donated cars. I'm just.
Because you're still sure you can use it all you can
get. You know, it's one of those things. The only I can use all the cars like that I can get. The only thing is, eventually they, you know, I have to maintain them, so they cost me to maintain. It's a lot better than going out and trying to buy cars. I'm sorry, I thought Dean was still sitting beside me when you were talking about a police car.
There's two new police cars.
The manager's behind you.
Most likely two new police cars coming if the budget goes the way it's going right now. So that means it would be two extra cars to send out to the airport.
Yeah, and you know,
maybe somebody else is asking for one.
I don't know if they are or not, but you know, we've on several occasions, you know, in return loaned them back to the PD when they needed them for something. So it's not like, you know, they disappear and the PD can never use them again. So
they're city cars.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jeff, for playing on.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And of course, you too, Peggy.
Thank you.
So now I'm the one who gets to write the letter.